Welcome, everyone. We are here and now, and this is episode number 10 of The Holistic Way with Dr. A. Dr. Jean-Paul Lamonte, and today I'm joined by the master wizard and producer of this show, Mr. Michael himself, as well as the master esthetician and bodywork therapist, Leah Dameron of Transcend _ Therapies. And today, we're going to be talking the skinny on the skin. That's right, we're going to be talking about natural, healthy skin and why it is so important to take care of your skin and what are the evidence-based ways to create a beautiful body inside and out.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Amante. Great to be here today. For those of you that don't know, Dr. Amante is a licensed chiropractor, massage therapist, and hypnotherapist with over 20 years of clinical experience. He currently maintains his clinical practice in Virginia Beach, Virginia, where he offers his signature total body tune-up. You can schedule a treatment or a consult with him at hhcare.org, or you can find him on YouTube at Holistic Healthcare. Also, it is my pleasure to have Leah Dameron here. She is a holistic skincare and bodywork specialist. She earned her master license in aesthetics from the Chrisom Institute and then graduated from the Casey Riley School of Massage in 2021. Leah specializes in pre- and post-surgical care, including lymphatic drainage, liposage, and biofield energy therapy. You can find her on Instagram at transcend_therapies. Welcome to the show, Leah.
Thank you for having me today.
So, the question for both of you today is, what are the holistic ways to have healthier skin? What are the natural things that people can do to be beautiful, both inside and out?
Well, all right. Well, let's first begin with the obvious. In fact, one of the most popular trivia questions is, what is the largest organ in the body? And of course, folks, it is your skin. So when we consider the holistic approach, it's always the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. And certainly in this culture, when we're judged and looked at by our appearance and on that outer surface of the body, that also connects with how we feel about ourselves, how we think about ourselves. And there's so many factors that go into having healthy skin. And well, let's just get right to it. So first and foremost, if you consider that the skin itself, largest organ in the body, is simply a combination of all the things we've been consuming, foods, liquids, etc. And it's also combined with how we move. As we know, exercise and keeping the body well circulated is a fundamental component of having good vascularization and good healthy skin. But it also has this component of how we think and how we feel about ourselves, right? And oftentimes the skin will show underlying conditions of things happening under the surface in the organs, in all the glands, in the underlying tissues of the body. So just as a simple synopsis, as most people are aware, your skin is comprised of two basic layers, right? Your dermis and your epidermis. Of course, epidermis means the surface that's on the outside of the body. And so the epidermis is really this continual turnover of this protein called keratin. So keratosis is this natural turnover of the skin. And so according to current research, this turnover takes about 40 to 65 days. And so anything that you're doing, folks, you want to give it about 6 to 8 weeks to start seeing results when you're applying regular, consistent skincare routines. Now, we're going to be talking to Leah about some of her favorite skincare routines and some of the things that she recommends. But more importantly, you know, it's looking at all the other things that are also embedded in your skin. So obviously, this is comprised of connective tissues, of blood vessels, of lymphatic vessels, but you also have all these sensory nerves that are embedded in the skin tissue. And literally, it's like this biosuit that we wear that picks up all the sensory information. And so obviously, it's one of the underlying sources of pain and discomfort. So hence why getting a massage, doing regular stretching, and taking care of your tissues is really important to have your skin and your body feeling good. Now, your skin is also one of the most important parts of your immune system, right? And so you have all these immune cells that we call Langerhans cells that are also embedded in the skin. In fact, consider that your skin is the first barrier to you and the external world. And so this is why keeping good hygiene, keeping your skin intact, and also making sure that you use proper care when taking care of wounds, cuts, scrapes, abrasions, or any of these breaks in the skin, because that's often how pathogens and infectious things can get inside and, well, start to cause problems. And so to do so, your skin actually keeps a slightly acidic pH. Now, this is usually a pH between about 4.5 to 5.5. This is why you want to use things just slightly acidic in order to cleanse off the skin and maintain a good ideal pH. Now, when you look at the epidermis, you actually have multiple layers here. So the very base layer that forms the keratin cells or the keratinocytes is called your basal layer. Now from there, it starts to grow. The layer on top of that's called your stratum spinosum because they're all kind of like spiny and pointed as the keratin cells start to take shape. And you get up to what's called the granulosum layers. And now in certain areas of the body, like your hands and your feet that get a lot of wear and tear, you actually have an extra layer called the stratum lucidum. And then of course, the very outer layer is called your stratum corneum. Now, what's interesting is once you get to the stratum corneum, all those keratin cells have basically died. They're basically ready to slough off. And so it's kind of weird when you think about that what you see on people is all of their dead skin cells that need to be eliminated. Hence why we now know that doing things like regular washing and doing exfoliation treatments to remove those dead skin cells helps with that natural turnover of your skin. And so from a holistic perspective, we want to treat the skin, of course, from the inside out. Now, looking at the connective tissues, we know that this is mostly going to be, again, keratin, but also the combination of collagen and elastin. And, of course, this is all embedded in mostly what? Water. So keeping well hydrated, keeping a good diet to support the natural formation of these proteins is absolutely essential for good, healthy skin. Now, when we look at the underlying dietary patterns, according to the research, staying well hydrated and also the types of fats and oils that you eat is extremely important, right? And so the research clearly shows that diets high in omega-3 fats and trying to also minimize the amount of fats. And according to the modern evidence, you really only need about a tablespoon or so of fats on a daily basis. So this is why, you know, your diet really does come out and show on the skin. And it's this combination of hydration, the foods, the fats that you eat, and keeping the skin well circulated and doing regular things to help with exfoliation are absolutely essential to just a good daily regimen to have good, healthy skin. Now, of course, we know that the skin not only is a protective barrier, but it also secretes a lot of hormones and a lot of factors. And as we know now, one of those is vitamin D. So you want to make sure that you get enough sunlight, but of course, not too much sunlight. And we now know that, you know, avoiding the peak hours of the sun is ideal, but on average, we all need about 15 to 20 minutes of regular sunlight and UV exposure in order to produce adequate amounts of vitamin D. And so, as we know, the skin is a reflection of the things going on underneath. And when you see underlying patterns, you know, for example, things going on in the liver, this will usually come out, as well as the intestines, your digestion, even as well as your colon, even the kidney issues can show up in changes in the skin. And I would definitely recommend for everyone that if you see any lesions or anything on the outside surface of your skin, please, folks, go consult a qualified healthcare practitioner. So for all you listeners, if you have anything you're concerned or worry about, please go see a dermatologist. You want to have these things checked out on a regular basis. And you can certainly look up, you know, the different warning signs and things. But most importantly, you want to have a good professional opinion. And so as talking to a professional here on the show today, Leah, in your opinion, what are some of the underlying factors that you see on a day-to-day basis when working with people's skin as it relates to their diets and their underlying organs and their different conditions?
Right. I would say that generally, and for a lot of us, you know, proper hydration is probably one of the biggest issues because we get busy. Sometimes we forget to drink our water. Sometimes we're actually maybe drinking too much coffee that's full of caffeine. It's starting to deplete some of our hydration going on. Hydration is probably one of the biggest factors as far as, you know, if we want to keep our skin looking younger, we want it to function better. We want everything basically in our body to function better, you know, even our brain. So hydration is super important for cellular turnover, for creating a nice glow in the skin. We always want to work from within. And that's what, you know, when we talk about being holistic, working, you know, through everything as a whole, you know, not just only working with the skin topically. We can polish it, we can cleanse it, we can exfoliate, we can do all these things and even, you know, hydrate it, you know, infuse vitamins into it to a point. But basically, you know, what we're doing is we're just kind of sometimes masking over what could be going on internally. So it's just really important that we work from the inside out and that we are supporting our cellular, you know, network and communication system by giving it what it needs most, and that is hydration. Mm. So all of our cells basically need to be swimming in this, you know, hydrating type of matrix. And we actually put it on our skin. You know, a lot of times we're using products that contain HA or hyaluronic acid. So the cells actually need to be swimming in this type of matrix of hydration, like I said. So if we lack that, it doesn't matter what product we're using on our skin. It's not going to work as efficiently as we want unless those cells are hydrated and they're happy. And as soon as they lose hydration, it's kind of sad to think about it in this way, but when they do lose hydration, it's instant cellular death. So that means we have more dead cells coming to the surface of the skin, and they might not, because the barrier might not be functioning as well as it should. You know, we have too much oil, we might not have enough oil, and what's happening is they're not sloughing off efficiently like they should be. So we just have to make sure that we're definitely staying hydrated.
Yeah. And you know what's so interesting too is, you know, not only consuming water, but, you know, all the different effects of using water on the outside of the body. Because I know that I definitely find that whenever I sweat and obviously, you know, open up the pores and release out, it is that natural cleansing process. And I recommend not only to patients, but myself, like every month, take some time to clean the body out, you know, doing those regular detox, doing those regular cleanses. And for me, it's doing, you know, exercise, sweating, you know, focusing on not only good foods, you know, and a good diet, but also too, the holistic approach. And, you know, and you went to the Casey Riley School of Massage, and I was heavily inspired by Edgar Casey, and he would use this combination of castor oil packs, in some instances, colonics, enemas, kind of internal cleaning out, but also just kind of general just decompression. And later I want to talk about the role of stress and stress management and what we've seen in terms of the research with eczema, acne, and so forth, because that's what I had as a kid. I mean, I remember having just been plagued with acne as a teenager, and even having to pay extra in my senior year high school photos to have the acne spot remover. And of course, now years later, like, I have no acne, or very, very rarely. And I definitely found it was a factor of the things I was eating. A big thing was hydration, you know, all the sugary sodas and all that stuff. It really has got to go in the diet to really kind of clean the body inside and out. But I also found, like, the external things, like a lot of things that would block the pores were from the oils and things on our hands. And I think constantly touching my face was something I became aware of, and just keeping the outside surface of the skin clean and clear. And so, you know, we can use obviously good hydration inside, but we can also use water outside. And I don't think a lot of people realize, like, when you use cold, like just splashing cold water on the face, washing with cold water, folks, when you use cold water, it actually helps to tighten the skin, close the pores. And I know in a lot of aesthetic treatments, they'll use cold or cryotherapy on the face to help kind of tone the skin.
We do. It helps, you know, reduce inflammation, swelling, you know. So yeah, I think it's a cold, you know, definitely using cold packs. Yeah. It's great.
Some people will use the crystals that are, kind of kept in ice water, or even the cryo sticks that you keep in the freezer.
Yes.
And a lot of these products, they can be really good to help tone and just kind of, again, kind of close those pores. So definitely as a therapist, when you wash your hands in cold water, it helps to kind of seal that skin barrier. So you prevent and greatly reduce the spread of germs and contact from one to the other. Because we kind of take for granted, when we're shaking hands or we're touching other people, that your skin isn't like this wall. It's really this multi-layered sponge, mm-hmm. right? And not only do we eliminate things from the inside of the body, but we're also absorbing things. And like we said, as those keratin cells slough off and we get rid of them, folks, that means your DNA is just floating around. And as we interact with other people, you're literally sharing the DNA of your skin. And, it's kind of a weird realization when you realize like the accumulation of like dust and things. Part of that dust that you see accumulate over things is your skin cells that just as you slough off, they're floating around, which is kind of weird to think about. But not only can we use cold, but we can also use heat. Because a lot of people realize like heat is going to help open the pores. So things like hot baths, hot packs is going to bring circulation to the skin, open up the pores. And after you use a heating pad or a hot pack, folks, it's one of the best times to either use a good cleanser, a good soap, or a good massage oil. Because we talked about a good healthy oils that you eat, but also using oils externally. Because it's literally food for the skin. And I know the basic research on good sources of olive oil and so forth. What are some of your favorite oils that you like to use and recommend?
Hands down, my favorite type of oils are through Bar. Bar products, B-A-A-R. I use them in pretty much all of my treatments. They're very simple, is what I love about it. We're not dealing with a bunch of different ingredients in a formula. They're ingredients that are, have been shown to work through several research studies, and does not really interfere with the proper barrier function of the skin. So, we always want to make sure that we're protecting that barrier. We're keeping it, really healthy. And we also want to, still have that glow in our skin, even on our body too. I know, with aesthetics, we're all about, a lot of times about the face and the neck. But as far as the skin on the body, what about that? That's important too. So I think that it really helps to support, the body, the skin on the body overall, yeah. And you mentioned castor oil before. We know castor oil, plenty of research studies on that showing that it has great anti-inflammatory properties to it. So, and it's very simple. It's been around for years, considered very basic. And at one time they were using it for, moving the colon, right? Yeah. And it is FDA approved, obviously, for that now. But, that was mainly what it was studied for, but it has so many other uses.
Yeah. And of course, we're not really talking about drinking castor oil, but using it as a pack or just applying it to your skin. Because I know whenever I do, like the skin feels super soft afterwards. And funny that you mentioned that, because we just recorded the oils video for Bar Products, and it's called The Best Lube on YouTube. And in one of those, there's one specifically formulated for beautiful glowing skin called Natural Magic. And of course, what does it add into organic olive and peanut oil but rose? And so rose water has a slightly acidic pH. And again, it almost perfectly matches that same slightly acidic pH of the skin. And so if you just want a good general massage oil for healthy glowing skin, check out Natura Magic. But like you said, all the oils that Bar makes, they're really well made and they're really good for skin. And in particular, Bar is the official supplier of the Edgar Cayce products. And there was many readings on the holistic health information on good, healthy skin. And he talked about the importance of the diet and that 80% of the food should be alkaline forming. In fact, he regularly emphasized one meal a day should be raw if you want to be healthy inside and certainly for the skin. And now we know that vitamins A, C, and E play an essential role in any fruits and vegetables that are high in antioxidants. And now, we know that leafy greens contain these specific carotenoids, lutein and zeaxanthin, that have clinically shown to protect against UV damage, improve skin elasticity, and improve the overall hydration. So again, keep eating those leafy greens, organic if you can, in order to have healthy skin. And the thing I love about the natural approach is that there's so much research on plant botanicals that are coming out. And a lot of people are aware of, you know, using avocado oil, obviously using things like carrots, leafy greens, but, you know, you can actually apply some of these things externally. I came across some research on people using just black tea, a black tea compress to the skin. Has been shown to reduce inflammation, and it's also a good antioxidant. Another one of my favorites is aloe vera. Mm-hmm. And most people know the natural extract from the aloe vera plant is very soothing for what? Wounds. So reducing inflammation, it's a natural wound and injury therapy that we can use. And one of my personal favorites is tea tree oil. Mm-hmm. Now, I've had a few different skin conditions myself, and one of those was cuts and irritations. And anything that I find started getting inflamed, I just started using tea tree oil. And I find not only it's very effective with acne and other types of outbreaks and so forth on the skin, because it's very antimicrobial, and just a little bit of tea tree oil. And of course, you know, get a good product. You know, there's some evidence that the Australian version of tea tree oil might be slightly better. But either way, tea tree oil definitely has some good clinical research behind it. Another one I want to mention here, folks, a good natural one is honey. That's right, common honey. Even using honey packs over wounds has a natural antibiotic effect. And now most people are familiar with the research on Manuka honey. That's right, that Manuka not only showed strong antiseptic results in a lot of the typical pathogens that otherwise can infect the body, some of these bacteria, but you can actually now find in your local drugstore wound patches that have Manuka honey in them. And I've had multiple scrapes and scars and injuries from running and certainly biking. You know, mm-hmm. I had an incident about a week after doing an Ironman triathlon where I literally scraped up the whole right side of my body, including a head injury with a mild concussion. And once I was able to stabilize that over those wounds, I was using the Manuka honey bandages, and now you can't even see them anymore. I mean, they're completely gone. And that's the truth, folks, that scar tissue, you know, when you have damage to your collagen fibers, it can heal. It will heal. That's your body's natural tendencies to heal and repair things. Now, if it's like a puncture scar, like maybe like a nail hole, that's a little bit different. But most scar tissue, you have to understand, if you can gently treat it, especially in the first 2 to 4 weeks, you can really help out with not only the look of the scar, but its flexibility, increasing vascularization, and improving the drainage of the lymph to the area. Now, collagen has a half-life of around 500 days. So if you've had a scar for a long time, it will take patience and consistency, but I promise you, from my personal and professional experience, scars can regularly go away. One of the natural treatments recommended in the holistic health readings was using camphor. So I'll combine camphor or camphorated oils with like basic olive oil, and you gotta use friction. In fact, I was trained in scar tissue massage, and there was some evidence that came out from an author named Warren Hammer that dates all the way back to originally using massage after doing surgeries. Now, I know that this is one of your specialties, so what have you found with regards to massage and body work helping and supporting scar tissue or even just after a surgical procedure?
Right. You know, a lot of it is just manipulation, you know, with the tissue. As far as, you know, like going in, using cross friction movements, we learned that in massage, but also just, you know, supporting the tissue in that area, using, you know, I like castor oil personally. We use LymphoCare from Bar a lot. It's great for moving fluid out of areas. You know, obviously we have fluid, lymphatic, you know, fluid in our tissues throughout our entire body. I know a lot of people, when we do have channels, right, with it that it channels through, but it's also found in every tissue of the body. So, you know, sometimes it can pull up after surgery, and it's really nice to be able to have a way to flush that out and support that tissue health. during that process. So if we're supporting the tissue's health during that, and everything, then we can begin to work on the scar tissue as it begins to form once the incisions are healed over.
Yeah.
I don't go in right away when you obviously know with open incisions, and we would stay away from that area. But I'm sure surgeons would appreciate that as well.
Absolutely.
But obviously, when the time is right,
wounds, don't go in and massage those.
Right. But it's a process.
Said, just the natural swelling that happens after injury or surgery, as we help the body to drain that swelling, it just helps those tissues to repair.
Exactly.
And just reduces the pressure on those areas.
Right.
And certainly once the tissue actually finishes the wound healing, I know I found that you have to go really gentle and you can't do much. Mm-hmm. But in those first initial stages, doing it frequently, but very gently. Mm-hmm. And then as the tissue starts to heal and gets less tender, a little more pliable, over time, you can start to work a little deeper and a little deeper. You don't have to be as frequent, and you can start to work a little longer and deeper, but with patients that I've worked on, doing it consistently for those first, especially 2 to 3 weeks, man, when they're like 6 weeks out, it's just so different. The trajectory, the healing can be, can be much, much better. Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of people, might think, oh, where do I go to find, a therapist and so forth? Well, you can certainly come to Virginia Beach. But more importantly, folks, you can do this on your own. Mm-hmm. Just get a good oil. Obviously follow the advice of your healthcare practitioner and all, but get a good oil and you can start to gently work over any of these areas on your own. And as you mentioned, you can use cold therapy, warm therapy, depending on the condition. But it really does depend on what is the condition and the situation in your skin. So again, it's so important to get things checked out. Go to the dermatologist, go to a qualified practitioner, because a lot of the common things that we find can be prevented. Mm-hmm. And then once they happen, there are treatments, but let's talk holistically for a moment. And one of my personal experiences was dealing with warts. I used to have plantar warts on the bottom of my feet when I was a teenager. Growing up in gyms, I did wrestling and running everywhere. And when I started to develop these plantar warts, my goodness, they were tender and painful. And then you realize, oh man, these things are contagious and they start traveling around the body. And I remember when I went to the dermatologist, they did the freezing and the nitrogen, which obviously was painful and intense, but it helped. But what I found the most helpful was using the prescription strength acid, the salicylic acid, mm-hmm. over the area. And so, fast forward like 30 years later, I started to get these warts on my hands. And obviously, as a chiropractor massage therapist, this was no good. And for a while, I had to wear gloves as I started to develop these warts. Now, folks, there definitely is a mental emotional component, And so when I started to kind of identify those, it helped. And I was doing the castor oil salves and all the natural things, and they just weren't going away. Mm-hmm. And then I remember going back to that prescription strength topical acid and got the prescription for the dermatologist, and sure enough, using that, and it took about like 4 or 5 treatments, and eventually it started to break them up at the roots, and eventually they did go away. Mm-hmm. And I know you hear a lot about natural therapies, they'll put duct tape on it or a banana and so forth, but we're going to stick to evidence-based things. But folks, you have to take a holistic approach, and the holistic approach is that every discipline has something to offer, and it's always wise and good to start off with just natural treatments for things. But if you're not getting results and you're not seeing improvement, it's time to use other methods as well. Right. And I found that the balanced combination of medical interventions with alternative is really the best approach, and everyone has something to offer for sure.
Right, because you want to make sure that the product, has efficacy, that it's actually able to work.
Yeah.
It's not just sitting on the surface of the skin being occlusive, but just, like salicylic acid. It actually has a smaller molecular structure. it's actually able to get down and penetrate into the skin to get to the source of the issue. Whereas some of these other methods out there, and you think you tried it and you're like, oh, it didn't work. Well, the reason why it didn't work was because it was probably sitting on the surface and not able to actually reach to where it needed to go. And that's where, you know, clinical products come into play, where we know that they are going to work, they've been tested to work, and they've been formulated to work for the, you know, these purposes.
So let me ask you, what are some of your favorite clinical products that actually work?
So I do have a couple of favorite brands that I really like using. One of them is probably going to be DMK, no doubt. I know that you can get DMK through, I think, over at Sanctuary Skin. Cassie up there, you know, Virginia Beach at Hilltop. I see that she has that over there. I really like a few products from them. I don't think there's one product from DMK that I did not like. They actually have supplements as well, mm-hmm. So which is really nice to help support your skin health. And I've used them and I really love them. Anything to help support the barrier of the skin is extremely important, and a lot of their products will do that. So, you know, some of my favorites are going to be CBE. It's an oil, vitamin E based oil, really helpful for, you know, reinforcing that barrier and keeping it good. Use a little bit of that with some of their hydration, sprays that they have, and just kind of mixing it, using it on your face in that way. The cleanser that I think is my top cleanser is probably going to be from, even though DMK has some really great ones specifically for different skin issues, and they are botanically based, which I appreciate. Is Clinical. IS Clinical, the cleansing complex. You know, I've worked in skincare clinics before, and it was kind of like our go-to. It worked for so many people. Again, a lot of botanicals in it, which I appreciate as well. But it's also, you know, clinically proven, you know, to actually work and have that effectiveness that people are looking for. So it's super gentle. I like it because it doesn't disturb the barrier. We've used it after microneedling treatments, you know, and things that are a little bit more invasive. And it always, you know, seems to do a pretty good job of keeping inflammation down. At the same time, it naturally kind of exfoliates, you know, every day you use it, but very gently. So I think that's kind of like my go-to cleanser, though.
That's interesting. You brought up some really good points there, too, because, right, you mentioned microneedling. Mm-hmm. You know, I know a lot of people out there are interested in, like, what can I do, or what kind of treatments are going to help with the aging process. And when mm-hmm. we talk about anti-aging and so forth, and microneedling, like, literally shows that it helps to stimulate the formation of new collagen.
Yes.
And as I'm aware, usually you have to get a couple treatments. You don't want to do them back to back, but it's like, you get in there, you break up the collagen, you know, it creates a little bit of bleeding on the surface, but it doesn't last long. Mm-hmm. What is that and some of the other treatments that people go to estheticians for mm-hmm. to help them look young and stay looking young?
Well, I think microneedling is probably my favorite one, that, you know, treatment that I really enjoy doing. I do it about 3 times a year. It's usually about 4 to 6 treatments. That's just for me. Personally, but you know, obviously you're going to be monitored by an esthetician to make sure that you're not, you know, doing too many invasive things to the skin. So 1 or 2, you know, treatments like that throughout the year, like maybe in a laser resurfacing treatment, a chemical pill, something like that, where it's going to help, you know, keep those dead skin cells, you know, keeping them off there, keeping everything moving, and you know, kicking up good circulation in the skin, super important. So microneedling kind of, covers all those bases, and not only does it help with, you know, collagen synthesis, but also elastin. Elastin is, I think, overlooked a lot of times in the skincare, you know, realm of things. We're always talking about collagen, and collagen boosters, but really we need elastin to keep the elasticity of our skin good, because as we age, it does become more slack, and we develop wrinkles, you know, and then, you know, we're like, oh, what's going on here? And, you know, we can put all these collagen creams on and all these things on the surface again, but unless we're really kind of creating that inflammatory response with a needling treatment, and, you know, we talk about inflammation being so crucial for kicking up, like, that response, right? But also just acute inflammation is okay, especially in the aesthetic world when we're working with some of these devices. And a lot of times people will see redness and they get upset, you know, about the redness. They're like, oh my gosh, I'm so red, you know. And acute is okay, or short term.
Yeah.
But what we worry about more is chronic inflammation. That's where we start having issues, you know. Yeah. So it's important to keep a balance with your skin. So after microneedling, make sure you are maintaining the balance and, you know, your barrier, keeping it really healthy and supportive, you know, of everything. But and then of course there's other things we can do after that to allow the skin to heal.
Yeah.
Before going in with another invasive treatment.
Right. Because inflammation is your body's natural response to heal itself. And so folks, when you produce inflammation, it's the reaction from it that often takes a couple days as everything settles down. That's mm-hmm. what stimulates the production of new collagen, like you said, elastin. You know, it's so interesting, you know, we talked about the epidermis and those outer layers, but the collagen elastin fibers are deep, deep down in the dermis. And one of the things, of course, that we need to do to help not only, you know, keep that elastin flexible and keep the wrinkles in the skin tone is, of course, to exercise. And there's protocols now where people will do these facial exercises to keep those little facial muscles toned. Because mm-hmm. if you didn't know, folks, your face is packed full of these tiny little muscles. And they need exercise too. And I know both of us, you know, practice yoga. In fact, you got your yoga teacher training, and we've now shown that doing regular things like yoga and flexibility is so beneficial for the elastin, for collagen, because right. it's not only toning and strengthening, but it's keeping that good, healthy flexibility. Now, it's so interesting. We were talking about, you know, the natural cleansers and things. I've seen in the aesthetic world the what's called dermaplaning, where they literally will scrape off. Mm-hmm. And it's like they take this fine razor and it's like, and I'm watching this and it almost looks like they're going to slice open, but they don't. They don't break the skin. But this very fine layer of skin is coming off. Like, mm-hmm. what is that?
Well, basically, we're just removing old dead corneocytes, you know. I don't know how else to describe it, but, you know, that outer surface
yeah.
that tends to make us look very dull mm. when we've accumulated a lot of dead skin cells.
Right.
And like I, you know, mentioned prior, you know, if we're staying hydrated, we're going to have less of those. We're going to stay a little more glowy. But it's really nice to go in about maybe once every 4 weeks or so and, you know, get dermaplaned.
Yeah, just which, scrape off the outer
layer. Yeah, well, a lot of people can go in because they yeah. want to remove the, you know, some surface hairs going on or some baby fine hairs that they don't like. But actually, it's a whole treatment in itself because you're not only removing that, but you're also removing, you know, some of these dead skin cells sitting on the surface. And once those are removed, product penetration is, you know, much better.
Yeah.
So if we were just sitting, you know, a lot of these skin cells are there, kind of like gunking up our face, and then we're paying for these expensive products and we're wanting them to get down into the skin, and that isn't, it just isn't going to happen because right. that's almost like a protective layer
right.
to a point. So we got to keep a balance with, you know, keeping our glow up, but at the same time, we want to make sure, you know, like I said, we're not doing too many invasive things, too many treatments too soon.
Right.
Like don't dermaplane anytime before 4 weeks,
yeah.
you know, if you can stand it, because you want to make sure that that barrier builds back properly.
Yeah. And yeah, you can definitely do too much, right?
Right. We don't want to be open to pathogens.
Right.
Right. And our skin is a protective, you know, aspect or organ, right. largest organ in the body. So I think we kind of overlook that sometimes. We're focused on these a lot of these inner organs, but it's the one that we can actually see, and it's a direct manifestation of what's going on inside of the body.
Oh yeah.
By what we see physically going on the outside
yeah.
surface.
And I mean, I can tell you from my experience, you know, people who are chronic smokers or who consume a lot of alcohol or who have, you know, a very processed diet, like you can see it in the skin. You can feel it. You can even smell it off people kind of emanating from their mm-hmm. skin. So it's, and what are these habits that we do, but an underlying reflection about how we feel about ourselves. So how we think about ourselves, how we feel about ourselves is directly related to how we treat ourselves and what we put on the body and inside the body. And well, if you even take care of your body, because if you really care about yourself, you will do those things on a consistent basis. And so when people are trying new things, you got to be patient. And I know some people will try a new product or they'll try a thing, and if they don't see immediate results in a couple of days, they're like, well, this doesn't work. But remember, folks, it takes about 40 to 55 days on average. So some people might take a little bit longer for you to actually start seeing results as those deeper layers start to come up to the surface. And I know that, you know, a lot of the cleanses and things that we're talking about, there's a lot of harsh chemicals out there. And so we need to be mindful of not only wearing gloves, but protecting your skin when you're working with harsh, intense chemicals and so forth. And more importantly, too, is just keeping the body clean. Now, obviously, the skin secretes its own natural oils, which obviously we call sebum, or from these glands, which is a result from the oils that you're eating in your diet and your food. And there is some debate on how often we should be cleaning and showering. And I know some people think, oh, I just want the natural oils to sit on my skin. Some people say otherwise. Well, we'll leave that up to the individuals to decide.
Just make sure we replace it.
Right, exactly.
You know, that's important. if we're using too much, or, you know, we're using too alkaline of soaps, you know, things like that, and it's starting to strip the skin, it's just really important to try to avoid those type of things in the first place if we can, because we want to stick with that low pH you were talking about, the acidic pH, you know, 4.5 to 5.5 in a product. That way we're not, you know, like I said, hurting that barrier.
So what are some of your favorite types of soaps to use?
I really prefer cleansers. That are formulated for the body that are pH balanced.
Yeah.
So any of, believe it or not, I use my IS Clinical on my face and my neck and my body as well, because we want to stay looking young everywhere, right, you know, not just the face and the neck. So it's pH balanced. It's formulated to be very gentle, but at the same time, like I said, you're getting that, you know, daily exfoliation with it. So it's going to keep your skin, you know, glowing, you know, and healthy in that way. So that's definitely, you know, that's my go-to. Yeah. And I use my cleansers on my body, you know, and it doesn't take much. With some of these really good products, you don't need a whole lot, you know, for it to work. And it's going to last a little longer for you anyway.
Yeah. And what about for, like, because I know a lot of guys out there just kind of grab, like, you know, whatever's on the shelf or maybe what's for sale. And, you know, especially too, like, you know, when you start to read the labels and look at all the stuff that they put in a lot of these soaps and a lot of these products, and especially the things that tend to be marketed towards, you know, guys, it's got a lot of crap in there. So if you were to kind of pick, like, maybe just one or two, like, simple soaps or cleansers that would be good for, like, typical, like, men, what would you say?
I would say if someone is just really set on having to use a soap, which, you know, we don't recommend in aesthetics necessarily, because of the pH generally is the reason. It does strip the barrier. Use something at least that has glycerin in it. You know, find a glycerin soap.
Okay.
You know, something like that. It has a nice slip to it. You're not, you know, using something that has too much lather, you know, breaking through the barrier again. So it's just important to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
You know, there are soaps that do have a lower pH. And then there's some that are more harsh, obviously. But, you know, if someone wants to do that, I would definitely say, you know, look to a formulation that has glycerin in it. It's very important. And you can get glycerin soaps out there.
Yeah.
You know, but generally stick with something that's pH balanced.
Got it. And I mean, I know some of the bar products, the olive oil based soaps, the Palma Christi based soaps, you know, they work really well as well. But yeah. There you have it. So glycerin-based soaps and focus on good cleansers.
And lock in your hydration.
Yeah.
You know, as you come out of the shower, while you still have a little bit of, you know, water, you know, sitting on your skin, get a really nice oil. I like a vitamin E rich oil. I do okay with vitamin E. Some people don't. So if you don't, then find something that works for you. But a really nice, simple oil.
Yeah.
Like I use a organic, you know, almond oil.
Nice.
And I lock in hydration that way. And I find that I don't really have too many issues with skin that is dry and flaky because it's supporting my barrier naturally.
Yeah, I find that really interesting, and certainly the right kind of soaps and cleansers for the right kind of pH. And, you know, what's interesting, though, is how we can measure the difference in our pH and our skin tone just basically when we get stressed. And I came across this study. that looked at the prevalence of acne and eczema. Not only do the symptoms worsen, but the breakouts worsen as people are triggered in their stress response. Yes. And when we think about when we're kind of most susceptible and we're most sensitive is during the teenage years, right? I mean, think about a very stressful time in life where you're having these hormonal changes and all these underlying patterns. And so research has now shown that stress and emotional triggers, you know, going to activate these symptoms and prevalence of acne and eczema. And so things like regular meditation, yoga, and acupuncture in the alternative world all have some good research behind them. And this is not necessarily treating the skin, but just anything that lowers your stress is going to be helpful for various skin conditions. And in fact, positive thinking, underlying emotional patterns, and so forth, all relate to the skin. And so, you know, I've certainly discovered myself that, you know, practicing meditation, mindfulness, yoga, anything that helps with deep relaxation, you know, the acidity changes, the tension, the body changes, and you just feel better and you can see it reflected in your skin. One thing I found very fascinating, you know, we're talking about the holistic approach of mind, body, and spirit, is how birthmarks that can appear on the skin and the body can actually be connected to past lives.
Yes.
And people doing past life regressions, they've actually had experiences where either a trauma or something that happened during them that time is carried with them energetically and stored in the light-based information that our DNA encodes. Mm-hmm. And as we know, you know, the DNA makes RNA, and it's the RNA that expresses proteins, and of course proteins that formulate your skin, well, your entire body. But you can actually see birthmarks or sometimes unexplained things can be connected to past lives. Have you heard of that?
Yes. Actually taking the QHHT training right now through Dolores Cannon, learning so much from that, a lot of new concepts.
And this is the quantum healing approach.
It's the quantum healing approach of hypnosis. And, you know, not only are we dealing with sometimes we think about traumas from this lifetime, but other ones that we've carried, you know, from past lifetimes. And we never really fully came to terms with it. So sometimes that will continue to carry on in your lineage as well, is the concept of it. So it's really important to, you know, work on oneself. You know, where are we at spiritually? And this will affect everything in our life, whether it comes to our skin and how it looks, how we have relationships with other people, and moving forward in our life, you know, finding our purpose in life truly. Because once we find our purpose in life and we're able to kind of let go of these old blockages that stand in our way, we're actually able to move forward. Yeah. And I think that's a really, you know, a deep question for a lot of people. And one that they ponder on a lot is, you know, what is our purpose in this lifetime? Why are we even here? And so a lot of those answers will be, you know, get answered as we learn how to work through some of these traumas. And we're able to become more enlightened as to who we really are.
Yeah. I definitely found the same thing that when I was doing my hypnosis training, doing past life regression, it highlighted some of those things. And it was interesting how a couple things almost immediately disappeared on the surface. But the other part of that is just understanding one's purpose and accepting oneself. And I think a big part of our skin, when we look in the mirror, is about self-acceptance and the natural tendency we have to compare ourselves because we're very visually oriented people, and certainly this society, very visually oriented, is, you know, stop comparing yourself to other people. You want to do things consistently that are healthy, that are going to support your natural body and your natural skin. And it's very important to set the ideal and to know where it is that you want to go, obviously. Mm-hmm. In your physical health and your appearance. But obviously, you know, with different types of skin patterning conditions, there is a strong degree of self-acceptance that goes with this. That, you know, when we love ourselves and accept ourselves and we understand on the deepest level who we are and what our purpose here, it can be very transformative. And oftentimes when you feel those shifts and those inner transformations, gradually you will see the show on the outside portion of your body. And I know I've certainly experienced that myself in my own life. And I've seen it in many patients and other people as well.
Well, that's the whole concept of, you know, Botox.
Yeah.
You know, where we hold emotion, where right. are we holding it on our face continuously, because it's an expression, right? It's an outward manifestation of an inward feeling. So what happens is over time we keep making the same expressions, you know, it literally does stick.
Yeah.
Right. So that's kind of what I do too, is we unstick things, you know, whether someone does it through the use of Botox to keep those muscles relaxed and everything. But the thing is, the reason why that goes away after a few months too, is because if we have not been able to stop the habit of what we are thinking that creates that expression in the face,
right?
If it's a negative response, right?
Right.
Sometimes they're good responses, you know, it's happy, we have smile lines and things like that, and that's okay, right? But a lot of times you will see it on people's faces, you know, if they've been through traumatic events in their life, or they've just been holding in things that have been bothering them, and or everyday things that maybe not having good boundaries, setting good boundaries for ourselves, you know, I think is extremely important, because when we're able to, you know, stand our ground and say, I'm not going to allow this to affect me today, I'm not going to allow this other person to run my life, and we take charge of our own self, I think that's where the change really starts. And that's why some people will look, you know, a lot of times so much better when they've released these stressors from their life, because the body does want to heal, right? It wants to come back from something. So if you just give it that chance, you know, give it the time to do that. And I think that's really important, you know, how we work on ourselves on that deep spiritual level. Again, a physical manifestation. We're spiritual beings walking around in a physical shell,
right.
a physical body when it comes down to it. And we can do all these things to make our physical body look amazing and great, but it's still going to revert back unless we fix what's going on the deeper levels
yeah.
inside of us.
That's right. Because yeah. what we think directly relates to how we feel, and how we feel immediately is expressed in the body. And God, what a perfect analogy is that setting healthy boundaries. I mean, what is your skin but the primary boundary of your body on the physical level? You know, just kind of the tip of the iceberg, or that outer layer, you know, certainly can be reflective of the inner boundaries that we have, not only with ourselves, but also in the relationships and those around us. And so good, healthy boundaries physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually.
Yes.
So as we kind of come to the end of this show, what are some of your favorite daily or nighttime skincare routines that you do and that you would recommend just as general maintenance for good, healthy, beautiful skin?
Right. Well, you know, I think one of the most important things is getting adequate sleep. So making sure that you're setting a time to go to sleep every night is really important. Don't allow things to interfere with that if possible. You know, put your phone away from you if you can. You know, obviously, you know, there's been several studies linking, you know, your phone radiation affecting even brainwave states. So we want to make sure that, you know, we're not spending too much time on our phone right before we go to sleep at night. We want to get that deep sleep, because that's where we're going to get the most regenerative sleep. We want to make sure that we're doing that. Drinking plenty of fluids throughout the day, like I said. Not too close to bedtime, because then we'll be up all night running to the bathroom. So just making sure we're, you know, maintaining that throughout the day. I like to use a vitamin A retinoid topically on the skin at night. It's really important to help with your skin's regeneration process. It keeps the surface layers smooth. It can actually help restructure them when they've been damaged. So, you know, that's very important. I do like to keep it simple. I think combining too many things too much at once is a lot for the body. We need to allow it to monitor its own healing processes. And sometimes these other things can interfere too much with that. So I think just keeping it, you know, a really good, simple routine is important. You know, do your cleanse. You know, if you want to use a toner, you can. But then, you know, maybe do like a I like to use my gold roller 2 to 3 times a week before I go to bed at night.
Now, what's a gold roller?
A gold roller, it basically it's a like a microneedle type of little instrument. And I've seen them on Amazon. You know, some are better than others. You know, they sell them through Environ has a really great one. You want to make sure the metal is, you know, basically more, you know, hygienic. You know, it's easier to keep clean.
You're just rolling this on the face.
Yeah, because I'm doing it like, you know, probably 2 to 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. Some people, you know, you got to watch your own skin and how you respond to it, obviously. And then I like to layer an HA topically over that because that's going to help it, you know, really get into those really more surface layers of the skin. It's going to create a, you know, really nice glowy effect. And just keep your skin hydrated. So that's one of my, I think, secrets to keeping, you know, the skin really glowy. Don't forget to use a roller. And, you know, obviously it's going to be great for your home care. That's your number one priority. You can go to get your treatments done through your esthetician, you know, but make sure that you're doing, you're having a really good home care routine. Right, so your daytime you would be, you know, using your vitamin C's for your antioxidant, and then nighttime vitamin A. Sometimes I triple it up with A, C, and E. As Clinical makes one, it's a really great serum. It's actually called ProHeal, and I use it during the day, and I've used it at night as well. And they say to use A at night because, you know, it can oxidize during the day, and so you're wasting product a lot of times. But I found that combination seems to be very helpful with the AC and E throughout the day even. And then, you know, lock it in with some hydration.
Yeah.
You know, HydroLock from DMK is a really nice one, especially in the summertime. We can get a little, you know, the skin can get dry. Wintertime, the skin can get dry from overexposure to the elements. So again, just keeping the barrier really healthy, supporting it. So another important thing, you know, we need to be using during the day is sunblock. And I prefer a mineral-based sunblock. Some people will go with more of the, you know, the chemical based sunscreens. They all have different approaches, but I like skin better. It has, you know, the mineral sunscreen in it. So I think that's important to protect your skin too, you know, as far as not overexposing it to the elements.
Yeah, especially as you get ready for summertime here, where naturally we're going to be outside more.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for all those wonderful tips and for all of your professional insights. And well, that's the time that we have for today. So thank you so much for tuning in and listening. I hope you'll check out the other episodes of this show, The Holistic Way with Dr. A, on the website at hhcare.org. That's hhcare.org. That's where you can also find more holistic health videos, research articles, and even sign up for our weekly newsletter. You can also schedule a total body tune-up here in Virginia Beach or a phone consultation. So you can find us on YouTube at Holistic Healthcare, on social media at Holistic Natural Care. You can find Leah Dameron at Transcend Therapies on Instagram. Well, thank you very much, everyone. We are through for the present.